Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray together. God our Father, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you will keep our hearts and minds open to you as we worship in so many different ways. Speak into our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in my teens, which I realise was quite a long time ago now, I don't know why I remembered this story, but it just suddenly came to me as I was writing this. I was talking with a lady who'd been to visit somebody, and she told me, she was obviously an older lady compared to me, she'd been to visit a man whose wife was in hospital and was very, very seriously ill. He was a young man, so it was a young lady, and they had a family who was very seriously ill. And she stayed with him, and she chatted with him for a little while. And then she said, I said, "Shall we pray?" And he said, "Yes." So she prayed for him. And he said to her at that point, he said, "I've never prayed before, but by gum, Mrs., I'll pray tonight." You know, and she said, "That was lovely, but what a shame. What a shame. He prayed when his need was there, but he didn't actually know God, did he? He didn't come close to God. He didn't talk to God." I think in this passage, I think Jesus is saying perhaps both are important. Praying when there's an emergency, yes, but also praying continually. I ask a question, really. Is it easier for us to pray when we have a great need, as this widow has, do you think? It's worth thinking about, is it? Is it easier to pray when there's a great need? Perhaps it is. But it's so important that we're talking with our Lord continually, because our walk with him is about relationship. And if we don't communicate, we don't have a relationship. I think this is a very interesting little parable. It seems to talk to me about two things. It talks about prayer and it talks about justice. Prayer is where it starts. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. But then it immediately starts talking about justice. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. We have here an unjust judge who didn't fear God, he didn't fear people, and he's contrasted to our God, who is the perfect judge. Think for a minute about this unjust judge. When I was looking some things up this week, I found a little paraphrase of this story, which made me smile. It said, Jesus told them a parable about how they should always pray and not give up. There was once a judge in a certain town, he said, who didn't fear God and didn't have any respect for people. There was a widow in that town, and she came to him and said, "Judge my case, vindicate me against my enemy." For a long time he refused, but in the end he said to himself, "It's true, I don't fear God and I don't have any respect for people, but because this widow has given me a lot of trouble, I will put her case right and vindicate her so that she doesn't end up coming and giving me a black eye." I like that. That puts it right, doesn't it? She was getting really cross with him, and he was very aware. the disposition in their courts actually seems very different from how we would expect a court to be, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever been in a law court in a case, but even if you haven't, you've seen them on television, I'm sure. You know, and it always seems a bit of a contest at times. We have the defence and we have the prosecuting, and it's who's going to persuade the judge and the jury that they're right. But this is different. In Jesus' day, if someone stole something from you, or anything worse, you had to make the charge against them. You couldn't get the police to do it for you. So it was just a matter of you doing it and the judge deciding. It was as simple as that. He'd vindicate one side or he'd vindicate the other side. He could decide. And these judges were actually appointed by the Romans in the time of Jesus, and they were really a bit notorious. They liked a bribe. And if you could bribe them, then you would get off. And I don't expect this widow could afford the bribe, and she bothered him, and he gave in. But back to prayer and God's perfect justice. In this story, is Jesus telling us to keep nagging on at God, and he'll give in to us and answer us? Well, I don't think that's quite right. God is the perfect judge, and he will always answer us. Maybe not in ways that we expect or want, but he is Lord, and he loves us completely. He does want us to keep praying about things. It's just about getting these thoughts right, isn't it? You know, if somebody asks us to pray for them because they're ill, we don't just do it once and then forget all about it. Of course we don't. We keep on praying for people, don't we? When they're ill and when they've got problems and difficulties, we keep on praying. I know lots and lots of people from different situations ask me to pray for them. And I do. I write down their names because if I didn't, you know what would happen? I'd forget. I keep a journal and I pray for these people. And it's so good when you see answers coming in different ways to different people. That's our part, isn't it? That's my part in this. But the answers that come are the Lord's, because he is supreme. He is the one who loves. He's the one who cares. But we do need to know how important prayer is, because it's actually the heartbeat of our relationship with God. As I said earlier, it's how we communicate with him, how we get to know Jesus more. We can't get to know a person unless we communicate with them, can we? So we need to be able to communicate with Jesus, to talk to him, to listen to him, to hear him. You know, when we read the Gospels, we're never far from seeing Jesus in prayer. I love the one in Mark 1:35 where it says he got up very early in the morning while it was still dark to pray. The day before that, he had preached in the synagogue. He had healed a demon-possessed man. He had then gone to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. And then after sunset, the whole town came to him and he healed everyone who came to him. And then he got up while it was still dark to pray. He often withdrew to lonely places. He prayed all night before choosing his disciples. And of course there's Gethsemane, and that's just naming two or three. You know, there's a lovely story about John Wesley, who you know went all over the country on horseback preaching. And if he had a particularly busy day, he would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray before he went. Because the busier he was, the more prayer he knew he needed. You know, if Jesus needed to pray, and we hear of these people praying, how much more do we? It's not always easy, is it, to get up early? It's not always easy to make time. But some things I think we can learn from Jesus in prayer, because you see, we need in our busy lives to pray, to spend time with our Father. Early in the morning is a great time if you can do it. I used to get up really early when my children were at home and pray. I'm not quite so good at doing that these days, but I still need to make that time. I'm always challenged, and this is a personal challenge of mine, I'm always challenged by the words of Jesus in Gethsemane when he found his disciples asleep. He said to them, "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And that's always, always been so important to me. It just hits me every time. Could you not give me an hour in your busyness? Now, he might not be saying that to you. Your challenge might be quite different. But this is continually a challenge to me that I have to keep on and on working on. Sometimes it's very easy and sometimes it's very hard. But when you make the time, guess who's blessed? It pleases God when we come to him, but we are blessed. I know I need time alone with my Father. With others as well. I pray with other people. I pray with my husband. But I need time alone with my Father. I need to find that place where I can be. I need to listen. Oh, it's so easy to jabber on, isn't it? As I'm doing this morning. And you're listening, I hope. But we need to learn to listen to God and to hear him, to recognize his voice to us. He speaks in so many different ways. But how does he speak to you? I know the ways he generally speaks to me, but I'm open for whatever way he wants to speak to me. It's how we need to be. And also we need to expect answers. And that brings us back to our parable. We're encouraged to persist in prayer and know that God will answer us. He is a loving Father and will give his children what they need. His answers may not be exactly what we expect, as I said earlier. Sometimes they are yes, sometimes they are no, and sometimes they're wait. You know, if you've brought up children, you can relate to those words, can't you? You answer sometimes yes, sometimes no, and sometimes wait a bit. It's just how it is. God knows. He's supreme. You know, and I find that my best answers come when I'm willing to leave it with God. Just leave it with him. You know, I'm sure I've told you this before, but when I moved up here quite 10 years ago now from Sheffield, I came because of a family tragedy. I knew I had to get to Harrogate very quickly. And, you know, we were just sort of dumbfounded by everything. And we were very busy. We were running a church on a council estate. And our main church in the village was Interregnum. So we were busy. And I was spending half the week up here. And I was just so exhausted, I can't tell you. And my prayer wasn't good. And I can remember saying to God, I'm just so tired. I don't know what to pray. But you know what we need. And I'll just leave it with you. And you know, God worked it out. I can tell you the details later if you want to know them, but he worked it out far better than I could ever even have imagined. So we have to trust him. We have to trust him. And perhaps when the chips are down, that's when we do trust him, isn't it, most? We know he's there for us. He does say, ask and you will receive. He's not like the unjust judge. I brought my umbrella with me this morning, in case Phil was wondering why there was an umbrella on his communion table. This is a very special umbrella to me. It's a windproof umbrella. It's a bit big. It doesn't fit in my handbag. But if you know me, you'll know I hate the rain. I know we need rain, and I know it's a blessing, but I hate it, and I hate getting wet, and the wind as well. So I have umbrellas everywhere, in the car, in my handbag, in the house, by the back door, by the front door, you know, and this one. And I lose a lot of them, of course. But it's always, I think, a good way of remembering your walk with God is an umbrella. It's a funny thing to remember it by. You know, when it rains and when it blows, I put this up and it's better for me. I can walk through the rain. I can walk through the wind with this. With Jesus, in a relationship, we can walk with him every second of every day. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, he'll help us get through. Like the rain, it won't go off when I put my umbrella up. The troubles don't disappear like magic. But God, in his love, gets us through them and gives us answers that perhaps we could never possibly expect. Pray and remember his words, thy will be done. Thy will be done. That's what he told us to say. We're trusting him. He's coming to finish it off for me. Don't worry, he's all right. I finish with the last words of this parable. Jesus started with words on prayer. And you know, he finishes that way too. He finishes by saying, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" When Jesus comes again, will he find a people who love him, who know him, and are in a continual relationship with him? This is our challenge, isn't it? To maintain, through prayer and through fellowship and through every other way with Christians, to maintain a day-by-day life, walking humbly with God, being in contact with him. And what we receive is simply more and more blessing. Amen. Amen. Shall we just pray? God, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you want to draw close to us. You want to talk to us. You want us to talk to you. And we pray, Lord, that you will continually challenge our hearts and help us to find that excitement in prayer as we draw close to you. Help us to just walk with you every minute of every day. In Jesus' name, amen.